All right. Good morning, everyone. It's been a great morning already. So good to see families dedicating their children to the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, including my own mom and mother-in-law and my wife. I don't even think I've had an opportunity to say Happy Mother's Day to you guys yet today, but today is a great day. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul ended his letter to the church in Thessalonica by writing these words. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times, in every situation. The Lord be with you all. This was a lovely blessing that Paul gave to the church in Thessalonica. And when I meditate on these words, there are a couple thoughts that go through my mind. The first thought is this: man, I would love to have that kind of peace in every situation, at all times. The second thought that follows is this even possible? Is this even achievable? Was Paul just ending his letter with sort of a nice, empty wish? Sounded great. Or is it truly possible to live with peace in every situation? Clearly, when Paul said these words, he was talking about internal peace. Jesus himself had said that in this world we would have trouble. So we will always live with unrest and chaos around us. But we must note the full statement that Jesus gave in John 16:33. He said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. In this world of trouble, Jesus is speaking of a peace that can only be found in him. Earlier in John 14:27, Jesus gave us this promise. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift of peace. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So here, both Jesus and Paul are both referring to a kind of peace that only Jesus can give. Paul's farewell statement then was not just an empty wish. Because of whom Jesus is, the Lord of peace, the Prince of peace, it seems that it is possible to live with peace inside despite whatever situation is going on around us. And of course, when you read through the scriptures, this idea of living with peace is actually seen all throughout them. We're challenged in one place to be anxious for nothing. We hear of a perfect peace. We're told to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. David wrote in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And sometimes when I read these words about peace, I find that they bring me both hope and frustration at the same time. I see something there that I want. I want that peace, but I often realize I'm not living in that reality. And when I look around in the world, I see lots of reasons to be anxious, to worry. I see lots of people around me these days exhibiting these kinds of symptoms, these kinds of emotions, rather. Uncertainty is all around us. Nothing feels stable. Fear is everywhere. There are big questions related to things like the economy, politics, countries at war. And then there are the struggles in our close circles of friends and families with health and relationships and careers. Inside, we battle with our own demons of guilt and shame and anger, to name a few. And so these verses about peace and these statements by Jesus and Paul, they sound so wonderful. But the question is, how do we live this way? Well, the answer to this question is one we hope to learn together over the coming weeks. Today, we are going to begin a new series that we are calling The Way of Peace. And we want to explore this topic and this question from several different angles. We want to talk about some of the things that can anchor our lives and give us a foundation for peace. There are some threats to our peace that we need to learn how to fight against. You know, one of the great ironies about peace is that you have to fight for it. We want to learn the secret of contentment that Paul spoke of. And so for the next few Sundays, we're going to go on a bit of a journey together. There is a way to have the kind of peace that only Jesus can give. And my hope is that each sermon in this series will better equip us to find it. As you know, today is Mother's Day. And because of that, I want to kick off this series in a bit of a unique way. I think one of the main things that allows us to live in the peace of God is understanding the character and the nature of God and reminding ourselves of who He is. We know that all throughout the scriptures, God refers to Himself as a Father. And He shows us His heart for His children often in that context. But God also uses motherhood as an example and as a metaphor to reveal His heart to us as well. You know, many of God's attributes are best seen through the image or illustration of the love of a mother. And there are many verses in Scripture that speak to this idea. And so this morning, I want to give you three maternal attributes of God shown to us in the Scripture that I believe are actually a source for us living in the peace we've been talking about. And the first attribute is this: God comforts us like a mother comforts her children. In Isaiah 66:13, God says this to His children: "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." Now, I think we would all agree that the way a mother comforts her children is often a lot different than the way a father does. Generally, if you're looking for compassion and tenderness, you're more likely to find it from your mom than your dad. I know as a child that if I was sick or if I had skinned my knee or something, it was my mom that I wanted. Somehow, I just believed she would know better what to do, and I knew she would give me more sympathy than my dad would. You know, I'm 50 years old, and if my mom finds out I'm not doing well, she is still more concerned about me than anyone. If I'm on the mission field and I'm sick, I know no one is worrying more about me than my mom, and no one is praying harder for me than she will. If I need some sympathy, I know my mom is always happy to provide it. There is just a level of concern, of empathy, of attention that it seems no one can provide quite like a mother. In another passage in Isaiah, there is a verse that I love so much. I often quote it in various sermons that I preach. And the background is the story of the nation of Israel living in captivity. It's a time of despair. It's a time of confusion. Everything feels hopeless. There's this growing feeling that's arising in the nation that even God has abandoned them. Isaiah 49:14 says, "Yet Jerusalem says, 'The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us.'" This notion that God has forgotten them produces a strong reaction in God. And His response to this in verse 15 is amazing. He says, "Never!" with an exclamation point for emphasis. And he asks this question: can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? "But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palm of my hands." Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. And so the image God uses here is that of a mother. He looked on Israel as his child, the nation that he had formed, and he asked this question, can a mother forget her nursing child? It's a question meant to make this whole notion that he had forgotten them sound ridiculous. There is nothing like a love, the love of a mother. However, we know in fallen humanity, sometimes even mothers don't love as they should or want to. But God is saying, I will love you perfectly. I will never forget you. He has such an attentive and concerned love that he says, I have written your name on my hands. He's always looking at them and thinking about them. He mentions that in his mind, there is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. He's saying, I haven't forgotten your situation. I see it. I'm concerned about it. It's always on my mind. Almost every home I've ever been in, a mother, the mother of that home, has pictures of her children and her grandchildren all over the house. They are always thinking about them. And so God is using these attributes and illustrations of motherhood to reveal his character and his heart for us. He's the God who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's the God who passed in front of Moses one day, declaring his attributes. And he says about himself, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. When we feel alone, when we look at those messes around us, when we are in situations that feel so hard to bear, when we are even experiencing the pain of our own poor decisions, our God is one who never turns his back on us and abandons us. He is a present help in times of trouble, the scripture says. Jeremiah wrote these words about God in Lamentations. He says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never stop. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. When I think of the kind of comfort that a mother provides and how that relates to God, I think of how mothers are responders to their children, to the cries of their children. Their ears seem to be tuned to the particular frequency of their own child. It's like they can hear that cry and recognize it in a crowd. When their children are young, mothers never seem to sleep deeply. They are easily awakened at their cries during the night. Dads, not so much. At least we pretend we can't hear them anyways. There's just an attentiveness that a mother has. I remember sometimes when my sister and I were younger, my dad would be reading a book or the newspaper or something. Remember newspapers? And I remember trying to talk with my dad sometimes, and it would be hard to get his attention when his focus was in another place. In fact, sometimes when Tracy and I were talking to him, we'd realize he's talking to us, but he ain't listening. He's just sort of grunting, And so we would test it out sometimes, and we'd say, hey, Dad, can we have $1,000,000? And he'd go, And usually it was at that point my mom would yell at him from the kitchen, Dave, you're not paying attention. The kids are trying to talk to you. Moms are often great listeners. They want all the details. They care about stuff that nobody else does. They love it when their kids talk to them. Sorry, Mom, I'll talk to you more. They want to help with everything, don't they? In Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call to me and I will answer you. He's not too distracted. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. He wants to communicate with us, share his heart with us. He's always listening for our call. David said this about God in Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Our God is a God who sees us. He never forgets. He responds when we call. He cleans off our mud. He steadies us as we learn to walk. These are his attributes. And he illustrates them for us in the love of a mother. When we understand them, it brings peace to us. I believe the most reassuring thing we can know is that the eyes of our Heavenly Father are always upon us. David, in a time in his life of real trouble, penned these incredible words. He said in Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. The second attribute is this. God nourishes us like a mother does. There is a short psalm that David wrote. I don't know that I've really paid a whole lot of attention to it until I discovered it in prepping this message, and I really like it. In this psalm, he uses the imagery of a nursing mother, and it speaks a powerful truth to us about God. Let me read it to you. There's only three verses in this psalm. Psalm 131, David begins, Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for a mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. What's he talking about here? In the beginning of this psalm, we see David here walking in humility, in a real awareness that he lacks the wisdom that he needs. You can imagine that, like many of us, the pressures of life are probably overwhelming him. I've never been the king of a nation, don't ever want to be. But I can tell you that many times just being a pastor or a father has left me feeling overwhelmed, unsure of myself, very aware of my own shortcomings, very aware I'm not smart enough. I don't have all I need. And when the pressures of life hits, panic often rises. Worry escalates. Fear grips. Sometimes there is some loud wailing and some desperate crying when we're lacking what we need, and we need someone to provide what we can't provide for ourselves. A young nursing child is very helpless in many ways, totally dependent upon their mothers, literally for survival. They are so dependent on their mothers for the nourishment that can sustain them. When life is scary, being close to mom provides a level of comfort like nothing else. And so David here in humility is speaking of matters that are too big for him to grasp. He's not pretending he has the answers. Rather, he is acknowledging there is a desperation in his soul. He relates this to a helpless child crying out for food when he is hungry, to a child that is only stilled and calmed and quieted by his nursing mother. He says in verse 2, instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. When it says weaned child here, he's not speaking of being weaned in a sense of being weaned off the breast in order to eat solid food. The word weaned in this context rather has the idea of a child who has just drunk his fill. He has gorged himself on his mother's milk, and he now lies milk drunk, sleepy on her breast. That's the image here. And so the child is satisfied. He's full. He's content. He's calm. He's quiet. Everything he needed was provided. He's now secure in his mother's arms, held close. He's at rest. And David compares this to the state of his soul after he has drawn near to God. He has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. When, and it says he calmed and quieted himself, he isn't saying he's the source of his own joy and contentment. No, he didn't produce it, he pursued it. He knew he needed something he didn't have, and he approached God like a child crawling up on his mother and drank his fill. He discovered the God. He also wrote so beautifully in a different context, but the same attributes in Psalm 23. The good shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures and restores our soul. The God who leads us by the quiet waters. The God who prepares a feast for us even in the presence of our enemies. The God whose rod and staff comfort even in the valley of the shadow of death. The God whose mercy and goodness are always pursuing us. David has experienced the quietness and the calmness of the God who supplies his needs and nourishes and restores his soul. And after drinking his fill and experiencing the goodness of God, he calls out to the whole nation that he's leading, "Oh Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always." He's calling to the nation, "Join me in experiencing what I've experienced. The calmness for your soul, the quietness for your soul, the contentment and satisfaction for your soul is found in one place, in God alone." Church, whatever you're going through, whatever you need, whatever is causing your soul to be anxious within you, the nourishment you need is found in God. Like a mother who nourishes and nurses her child and brings him to a place of quiet and peace, so is our God. So will you come with humility and draw near to him? Your strength is found in the presence of the Lord. When we discover that God has all we need, we're filled with great peace. The third and final attribute I want to talk about this morning, this maternal attribute of God, is that God protects like a mother does. I've alluded to this somewhat already. But there is a protective quality that is found in mothers that is one of the fiercest forces on the planet. And once again, God uses this to illustrate his passion to protect us and defend us. One of the images that God uses in relation to this is that of a mother eagle. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, Moses is singing a song about the greatness of God. He's experienced God leading this nation out of captivity and into the promised land, and he breaks into song about how great God is. And he writes these words. He sings these lyrics in verse 11. "Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spreads his wings to take them up and carry them safely on his pinions." When a mother eagle senses her eaglets are in danger, she rouses them to move to safety. She gathers them together and spreads her wings over them to hide them. She will even swoop underneath them and let them rest on her wings when they're learning to fly if they're falling. As Moses is singing, he's declaring that God watches over his people in the same way. He actively supports and guides and protects them. With him, we can rise above the circumstances that have the potential to destroy us. He catches us even when we're falling. Psalm 91 uses the same illustration. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you. Here's this image again. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. I recently saw a really neat video the other day of a mother eagle doing this very thing. A fierce storm was blowing, winter storm, and she's in her nest with her eaglets. And she gathers them underneath her and covers them as the wind blows, as the snow falls. And by the time the storm is finished, you see this mother almost completely buried in the snow. But then when it's over, she arises, she shakes it off and moves a little bit. And there you see these eaglets, dry, warm, and content. I think I have this little video for you. Isn't that a powerful picture? Church, God is our defender. He's our refuge in the storms of life. He's our shield from the enemy's arrows that are launched against us. You know, we often talk about the fierceness of the attacks of the devil. He's no joke. He prowls around like a roaring lion, the scripture says, looking for someone to devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. It's all true. And the scriptures warn us to not be ignorant of his schemes. But sometimes I think we are more aware of the plans of the enemy to destroy us than we're aware of the fierceness of our God to protect us and fight for us. And as a result, we're filled with stress and anxiety because we feel like we're fighting a battle we can't win. In Isaiah 43, God gave this promise to his people. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. He knows your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. I'm your Savior. As we mentioned earlier, Jesus said in this world there would be trouble. And God is saying the same thing to his people here through Isaiah. He didn't say, if you pass through the waters. He said, when you pass through the waters. We will go through times of difficulty. But the promise of God is that we won't go through them alone. He will be with us. Like the three Hebrew children experienced, he is the God who stands with us in the fire. There is a fierceness and a loyalty about a mother's love that's like nothing else. And it helps us to understand God. And it gives us an assurance in times of difficulty. You know, sometimes I think as dads, we have more of a tendency to pull back from a child who is rebellious or disloyal. But moms are different. They remain loyal to their children no matter what is going on in their lives. They will be with you even in the deep waters. They don't run when the storms hit. They pull you closer. And this is the heart of our God towards us. There is no greater peace found than knowing that God is with us in the storms of life and understanding that he is passionate to protect his people. Church, the way of peace begins with understanding the nature and the character of our God. Through the illustration of the heart of a mother, God reveals his heart towards you and towards me. I hope that's provided some encouragement and strength for you today. Would you stand to your feet with me? Before we leave this morning, I just want to give an opportunity today for anyone in this room who needs to have peace with God. You know, before you can know the peace of God that we've been talking about today, you first need to have peace with God. You know, the Bible tells us something sobering. It tells us that we're all sinners and that we've all fallen short of the grace of God, and that our sin, because of the justice of God, needs to be punished. That's bad news. The Bible tells us we're all going to stand before God one day and give account for our sin. There is a judgment coming. That is terrifying. But the good news of the gospel is that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, to take our sin upon himself, to take our filth upon himself, be punished in our place, die in our place, and give us his righteousness so that we could become children of God now and for all of eternity. The Bible says that in our own sin, we are enemies of God. But through Jesus, God gave us an opportunity that we could be the friends of God and the children of God. And you receive this salvation and this mercy and this grace simply by humbling yourself, by confessing your need for a Savior. The Bible says if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you'll be saved. And so if you're here this morning and you've never had that time in your life when you humbled yourself before God, acknowledged your sin before him, and cried out for his mercy and his grace, then we need to do that today. And the amazing thing is that God hears your cries. He sees your heart. And when there is a true repentance within, he forgives. He comes to wash and to cleanse you of all your sin and all your unrighteousness. And you can know, you can have peace with God and experience the peace of God as a result. So would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to just lead in a prayer of salvation. I'm just going to ask you a question. Everybody's got their heads bowed, so this isn't an embarrassing thing at all. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, as you pray that prayer this morning, I need you to include me in that prayer. I want to make my peace with God today. I need him to be my Savior. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up where I can see it? You're just acknowledging before God, that's me. Is there anybody here today? Thank you. I see some hands in the room. Anybody else? Just one more opportunity here. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm just going to pray this prayer, acknowledging a need for a Savior. You pray it in your own hearts with me. God sees your heart this morning. Jesus, I come before you today in humility, in brokenness, realizing that on my own I'm wretched. I'm realizing that I'm a sinner. Realizing I need a Savior today. I'm realizing that I'm an enemy right now in my own state of sin and brokenness. But I want to be your friend. I want you to be my father. I want to be washed. I want to be cleansed of all my sin. And so today I place my faith and my trust in what you did for me on the cross of Calvary when you sent your own son into this world to die on my behalf. I believe when he died, my sins were upon him. He was punished in my place and made available to me his righteousness. And so today I receive it with gratitude, with joy, with humility. Thank you, God, for loving me so much that you died for me. Today I choose to follow you. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Change me from the inside out. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your peace today, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for the rest of us this morning. Lord, I think I could ask everyone in this room, is there something in your life right now that's making you anxious? Is there something in your life that you're concerned about? And 100% of the people would say, yes, there is. And yet, Lord, you come with this beautiful promise that there is peace in every situation, in every circumstance for us to have. And so, God, today I've spoken of your attributes, illustrated for us in motherhood. We are in awe of your goodness. We are in awe of the fact that you see us, you love us, you care for us. God, I pray that the words that I spoke today wouldn't just evaporate into the air. But Lord, I pray they would be a rhema word in our spirit today. Lord, that even as we go through the situations and anxiety wants to arise and panic, that we would be reminded of these words and we would see this image of the eaglet and we would feel, oh yeah, God is surrounding me today. Amen. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Amen. I'm surrounded by you. Lord, I pray that we would just have this tangible sense of the presence of God, the wings of God, as it were, around us today in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for your strength. I pray for your comfort. I pray for your peace today in Jesus' name. Let it overwhelm our soul. May we crawl up on your lap, as it were, like David and drink our fill. And say, I'm satisfied. My soul is at rest within me because I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Lord, I pray over the coming weeks as we continue to dive into some of these truths. God, I pray, Lord, that there would be a beachhead of peace established in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget, we have this photo booth out there. My wife and my daughter made it. They worked hard on it all week. If you need prayer for anything, maybe something in the sermon just challenged you, you'd like some prayer, the altar is always open. We have a prayer team that would love to pray with you. Be blessed, everyone. Have a great day.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.